And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again. Thank God for every single day, folks, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are glad and we rejoice in it. And you know, and I really do mean that, don't you? Look, life has its problems. It has its issues, its ups and its downs. Some of you listening to me right now could be facing a challenge of some kind, a problem of some kind. But you know, as long as Jesus lives, there's hope. I don't know whether you all have heard that song, but there's a song, as long as Jesus lives, there is hope. And I heard that song the first time at a very difficult moment in my life. And I'll tell you, that song just spoke to me. No matter what the challenges are we are facing in life, as long as Jesus lives, and guess what, folks? He lives forever. There is hope. There's a way out. He is a way maker. He's a way out of trouble and a way out of trials and a way out of pain and a way out of anguish and a way out of heartbreak. And he's the way into blessing and the way into peace and the way into joy, the way into hope, the way into prosperity, the way into everything good, because every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. He's the best thing that ever happened to us. And we want the whole world to know that Jesus lives and Jesus gives, and he's the lover of our souls. So every day really is a wonderful day. You know, that song says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And you know, there are times that just by the leading of the Holy Spirit, the program opens this way. But you know, folks, there are moments in life, and I've experienced these moments, when, you know, things just get so convoluted and they seem to be so confused and chaotic, and you're trying to figure it out and trying to pray your way through it and trying to understand, well, what is going on here? Lord, how do I deal with this? And you know, I always remember this, no matter what, God loves me. God loves me. And he's not trying to do me harm. He wants to do me good. And no matter how bad any given moment may look, God loves me. He loves me. He wants to help me. He has power to help me. And I have no doubt about this, and this is where some of, I think, our brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes forget. He will help me. It's not a question of if or whether. He will help me. And, you know, I just have to hold on and be patient and stay in faith until the help comes. So those of you listening to me today, if you've got any kind of problem or trial or tribulation or issue that you're facing, remember, there's hope. God is going to bring you out. He will bring you through it, no matter how painful it may seem at any given moment. God will make a way out of no way. I've been walking with the Lord for 43 years, folks. And you know that old song that says, you know, he never failed me yet? I always say you ought to drop the yet, because there is no yet. He'll never fail you, you know. He will never fail you. And I can say for the 43 years that I've been walking with Jesus Christ, he has never, ever disappointed me. Never. Now, I would like to be able to say I've never disappointed him. I'm not quite as certain about that one as I am about the fact that he's never disappointed me. Okay, so folks, just be encouraged. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on The Awakening with American Family Radio. You can listen to us, of course, on AFR.net if you're listening on the radio or listening on live stream. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell somebody that they ought to tune into our programming. And I want to thank all of our listeners again. As I've traveled the last week, I've met many of you, and it really is gratifying to meet you and know that you're listening to the program. Please keep us in your prayers. We don't take what we do for granted. And in this kind of hostile world, and sadly in the hostile culture that the left has created in our country today, we really can't take this for granted at all. Hey, listen, I've got something exciting to talk to you about. And that is, you all know, because I've announced it before, that on November the 11th, that's Veterans Day, by the way, we're having, we meaning Stan, staying true to America's national destiny, is having our first annual awards dinner. The first one we've ever had. We've been in existence 10 years. We were formed on July 4th of 2009. We're having our first. And this is a fundraiser. And we are honoring General Jerry Boykin, wonderful man of God, wounded twice in combat for this country, former commander of special ops. In fact, he was the commander in charge, folks, of that infamous incident that we know happened. He was the person put in charge of that and had to bring those troops home, Black Hawk down. This is the same guy, by the way, who was not allowed to speak at West Point because they considered him, the Obama administration considered him a little bit too evangelical, a little bit too godly. Great man of God and great patriot and hero for our country. Star Parker, who is another hero who's fighting to bring private sector principles to inner city problems, something I'm dedicated to myself. Jenny Thomas, the wife of the Supreme Court Justice, but in her own right is a tremendous leader and organizer. And folks, you'll learn a lot about her if you're able to come. And then the Honorable Kenneth Blackwell, former UN Ambassador for Human Rights, a Reagan appointee, a great, great man of God, NRA board member, former mayor of Cincinnati, former Secretary of State for Ohio, former treasurer of Ohio. I mean, a truly accomplished man. He happens to be an American of African descent, which means that he has suffered the slings and arrows of being called a traitor to his race and all this kind of nonsense. One of the greatest and most courageous men I've had the privilege of meeting, and they all are great people. So you come, you'll have an opportunity to join with me in honoring them and join with all the people who are there. Well, American Family Radio has sponsored a table, and that's a table of 10. And folks, we're going to give away, because of American Family Radio's generosity toward this event, we're going to give away 10 tickets. They're going to fill a table with our listeners. That means if you're a listener and you're in the area and you want to go, you can go. All you got to do is call in and indicate that you want a ticket. And by the way, if you're married, we're going to give you a complimentary set of tickets. If you want two, we'll give you a complimentary set of two. These tickets are going for $75, folks. So this is no small thing. It's a big, big event. But believe me, you will be inspired and uplifted. Look, I don't believe in you know, regular chicken dinner, you know, rubber chicken stuff. I think that when the body of Christ gets together, it ought to be uplifting and inspiring and encouraging and bless. We're going to have music and give these awards. General Jerry Boykin is going to bring the keynote address. He's one of the greatest speakers, frankly, I've ever heard. I'm serious about this. This man is a great communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the things of God. So, therefore, the number is 888-589-8840. If you want to go, now please don't take the tickets if you're not going to come, but if you want to go, you're in the area, or you are close by enough that you want to make the drive, it's going to be November the 11th at 7 p.m. at the Alexandria Old Town Alexandria Hilton Hotel. I think technically Hilton Old Town Alexandria Hotel in Alexandria, Virginia. We'll give you, of course, the address and other details once you have become one of the recipients of tickets. The number is 888-589-8840. Just let us know, and we'll be happy to make sure that you can attend this great event, courtesy of American Family Radio. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for supporting the event. Be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Americans in general, and even evangelicals in particular, seem confused about important details of their faith. A study by Lifeway Research found that Americans don't know much about theology, and many evangelicals seem confused as well. Tyler O'Neill wrote about the 12 lies American evangelicals believe. Here are just a few of them. Americans generally believe that their personal salvation depends on good works. The survey found that 3/4 agreed with the statement that people must contribute to their own effort for personal salvation. More than half said that good deeds help them earn a spot in heaven. On the other hand, 60% said Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of sin. This statement is closer to what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one should boast." Americans seem to believe that everyone goes to heaven. The study even found that almost 2/3 of evangelicals described heaven as a place where all people will ultimately be reunited with their loved ones. Just over half of Americans agreed with the biblical view that only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone receive eternal salvation. Americans also believe that salvation can come through many means. Nearly 2/3 said that God accepts worship of all religions. Nearly half of evangelicals agreed that God accepts all kinds of worship. And this survey correlates with a survey done by Probe Ministries with Bronner Research of born-again millennials. Americans in general, and evangelicals in particular, accept a pluralistic view of salvation. You know, these surveys remind us that churches need to focus even more attention on teaching sound doctrine. And when we're witnessing to non-believers, we need to define our terms and clearly explain the message of salvation. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
And I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Brian Fisher here. LeBron James picks up Colin Kaepernick's mantle. The governor of Texas weighs in on the mother who wants to chemically castrate her 7-year-old son. A celebrity praises the neighbor who attacked Rand Paul and put him in the hospital, and the Democrat star impeachment witness is on the payroll of the same company that paid Hunter Biden. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And folks, the calls are coming in already. And Randy, when you get a chance, you can let me know how many we've gotten so I know how many we've got left. And we'll come back to our annual gala in a few minutes. But folks, I have really been, as you all know, incensed by the way these Democrats in Congress have conducted themselves and the hatred that they have, not only for the president, by the way, but in my view, the hatred that they have for those of us who support President Trump, who voted for him, and for those and hatred for those of us who respect our Constitution and the process it provides for the governance of our republic. But we've got a bunch of people in Congress in the Democrat Party who could care less about any of that. I want to comment a little bit about that and dig into that issue a bit. But first, for the first time in all too long, it seems the Republicans have decided to speak up vociferously against this stuff. And they held a press conference after trying to storm the secret hearing that the Democrats are having, an impeachment proceeding that is secret and only Democrats are allowed. Now, folks, that is beyond the pale. But one representative, I think, captured it, Representative Debbie Lesko of Arizona. Take a listen to what she had to say.
Well, listen, for 2 years, Adam Schiff told the American people that he had evidence, proof, that President Trump had colluded with Russia. And then we find out after 2 years, $25 million or more spent, 2,800 subpoenas, 500 interviews, that no, that was not the case. And then Adam Schiff on public TV says, no, our office didn't have any coordination. We didn't hear at all from this whistleblower. And then that turns out to be false. And then in a committee hearing, he makes up a totally made up conversation between President Trump and the Ukrainian president, I assume to try to deceive the American public. And now, he wants us to believe that he's like a special counsel in these closed door meetings over here that I can't go into as a member of the Judiciary Committee, and that even Republican members on the committee can't even see the transcripts. This is totally unjust. It's totally unfair. There was no vote on the floor of the House of Representatives, as has been done in the past, to authorize this impeachment inquiry with a standard set of rules and due process procedures that any American citizen should get, let alone the President of the United States. So I say to you, this is unfair, and it's a total political hit job on the President of the United States, and this is unjust. I hope the American people see it for what it is.
Now, folks, that nails it. That nails it, because that's exactly what is going on here. You've got a star chamber-like proceeding against the President of the United States. And by the way, for those of you who were with me in Iowa, and for those of you who have been listening to this program, you hear me talk a lot about Marxism and communism and socialism and how it has infected our body politic, particularly the Democrat Party. Here's another instance of it. Because you know what they're behaving like? They're behaving like we live in a one-party system. They're behaving like they can literally outlaw all other political parties and proceed as if there's only one, whether anybody likes it or not. This is the President of the United States, duly elected by the people of the United States, and I guarantee you this, there were some Democrats who voted for him too. He was elected by the people of the United States, and behind closed doors, they're plotting to overthrow him. They're plotting to get rid of him. And they're not allowing the American people to know what's being said. And they're not allowing the other party in the room. And as Representative Lesko points out, there was no hearing. There was no agreement on proper procedures. Folks, we have something in this country called due process. And even the President of the United States does not give up his due process rights when he gets elected. I mean, so this stuff is just beyond the pale, folks. I mean, you know, and I'm not easily frightened by things, but this to me is deeply disturbing that they've gone this far as to turn this into some sort of star chamber proceeding, a secret proceeding to impeach the president. Now, this is not the first time there have been impeachment proceedings to impeach the president, but this is the first time they've happened without a vote. This is the first time they've happened without any procedural rules set forth as to how this is going to happen. And I hear people say all the time, well, this is not a judicial proceeding. This is a political proceeding. This is a political matter. No, that's not true. It is both. It is both. Because if you say, well, it's not a judicial matter, what you're saying is, so nobody's entitled to any sort of due process rules according to the Constitution. Well, it is a judicial proceeding, and it's also a political proceeding. But it's a political proceeding that must proceed with certain judicial rules of order and process that every single American citizen is entitled to. And the last time I looked, President Donald Trump is an American citizen. And so, folks, this is just, I am just amazed at how far left these people have gone to the point where they are, in effect, discarding the Constitution. They just wholly discarded the political process. And I've said they're poking their finger in the eye of every single voter who went to the polls and pulled the lever or marked the box for Donald J. Trump to be president of the United States. They're saying, you bunch of idiots. You bunch of stupid, worthless deplorables. You think we're going to let you, because you happen to vote for this president, you think we're going to let your will prevail? You all aren't entitled to that. When you're too stupid to put in office the people we think should be put in office, we're going to simply overthrow what you've done, and we're going to do what we think is best. Now, folks, that may sound a little harsh, but I think it's absolutely accurate. Well, a new controversy has arisen because the president has described this as a lynching. And now the left is all up in arms again. And folks, I'm going to try to get some people on who don't agree with us so that we can actually have a debate about this. Because let me tell you something. One of the things that the left has done so successfully, and in part because we have allowed them to do it, is they have become the vocabulary police. And words may only be used based upon what they say is an allowable use. So, you know, rules of grammar, definition, don't matter. The only thing that matters is what they say. You see, so for example, let me give you a very stark example, folks. I don't use the N-word ever. I don't use it in private. I certainly don't use it in public. I don't use it even when talking to my family, because I feel like this. If it is a bad word to use, then I should not use it either. I can't be a hypocrite and say, well, no, you can't use it, but I could use it, which is what the left is. You know, certain people could use it because they mean it differently. But this is what they do with all vocabulary. They'll tell you what you may or may not say, but the rules don't quite apply to them. They're different. They're the unique elites who transcend the rules, but they have to give the rules to the little people who just don't know any better. So they have to tell us how we can talk. Folks, the word lynch and lynching does not mean black people. It is a vocabulary word that refers to, and I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and it doesn't say anything about black folks. It is, and here's the definition that Merriam-Webster gives, to put to death as by hanging, by mob action, without legal approval or permission. Now, that's the definition of the word. But the left wants to tell you that the president can't use it because of the history of lynching in this country. Well, look, I'm aware of the history of lynching in this country, folks. And it was horrible. It was deplorable. It was terrible. There's no question about that. And none of us revels in that. None of us thinks that was a good thing. But the word itself has its own meaning. And yes, it's been used in that context. But guess what? Black people aren't the only people who've ever been lynched. There was a lot of lynching that happened in the West. You got lynched if you stole cattle. You got lynched if you stole horses. There were all kinds of reasons that people got lynched in the West when the West was being pioneered. Lynching didn't start with the Ku Klux Klan in the South. But now, no, you can't use that word, because to use that word is racist and it's insensitive, and how dare you? And even Cornel West, who I'd like to get on the program if he's willing to debate me, had the nerve to come on the Communist News Network, CNN, and say, Clarence, because they said, well, what about Clarence Thomas? Should he have used it? Well, and he says, because he's a beautiful black brother, it's more understandable, but even he was wrong. The word has its own meaning, and when used in a metaphor, it simply refers to unjust treatment by others that is considered to be extreme, and so you use the metaphor of lynching to depict that. Oh, but no, you can't do that. Folks, this is totalitarianism. This is trying to control vocabulary and punish you for the way you speak. This has got to stop, folks, and we're going to have to stand up against it. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
You know, human beings being what they are, they are prone to make mistakes. Some of the mistakes we make are very serious and costly. Some of them, however, are very innocent and often very humorous. I recently ran across this humorous little mistake made by a florist in Harrisburg, Illinois. Somehow the cards on two bouquets were switched. One, a birthday bouquet to a housewife from her husband, read, "Congratulations, hope the baby is doing fine." Well, the other card, to a mother in the hospital with her first child, read, "27, hope you have many more." Well, it would be fine if all of our mistakes were such humorous ones. Maybe we could laugh a little more. But the truth about it is that some of the mistakes we make are not so funny. Some of them are dead serious. Paul, in writing to the Christians in Galatia, wrote what I have in mind here. "Make no mistake about this," he said. "God is not to be fooled. A man reaps what he sows." There are some basic truths in life that no man can escape, and one of them is that we reap what we sow. Not long ago, a parent expressed concern to me that their children didn't attend church as regularly as the parent wanted them to, and yet the parent attended very seldom. We reap what we sow. Maybe this is old hat to you. Maybe you've already heard it. That doesn't change the fact that it's true. Sometimes we become so accustomed to that which is true that we regard it very lightly. We make a terrible mistake when we do this. There is in this life that we live two roads on which we can travel, the high road or the low. There are natural consequences that follow the choice we make. The reason that the carpenter came into this world was to get people to walk the high road. He came to lead them in their journey of life down the high road. He'll never force us to choose the high road. And if we wish to choose the low road, he gives us the freedom to do so, even though it breaks his heart. There's a little poem that fits this idea so well. It goes like this. "But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth the way his soul shall go." You see, it is in the final analysis our decision to choose what kind of life we live here on earth. People can influence us, but we have the final decision in what our life will be. Our lives are, after all, just about what we want them to be. And after we make our decision about what we will do with our life, we reap the results. For those who seek the answer in houses, lands, and rings will someday find that empty lives are just as empty, filled with things. Yes, we make mistakes. Mistakes are the trademarks of humanity. But whatever else we may do, let us keep the truth of this in mind. Make no mistake about this. God is not to be fooled. A man reaps what he sows. If he sows in the field of his lower nature, he will reap from it a harvest of corruption. But if he sows in the field of the Spirit will bring him a harvest of eternal life. Incidentally, what kind of crop do you expect?
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Wow, folks, 6 of those 10 tickets are gone already. So God bless you. Look forward to seeing you there. There are 4 left. 4 left. The number is 888-589-8840. 4 left to the first annual awards gala of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, an organization I founded 10 years ago. Honoring General J. Boykin, Star Parker, Ken Blackwell, Jenny Thomas, and looking forward to seeing you there. So we've only got 4 more to give away. So thanks to American Family Radio's generosity, we have a full table that is available for AFR listeners. And so you got another shot, two more married couples or 4 more individuals to get in. Now, folks, This whole thing of I've called it totalitarian culture. It's not where the government is trying to control everything and everybody, although you put the left in charge and that's what they'll use the government to do. But thank God we've got a president who's not going for that. And we still have enough conservatives in Congress, in the Senate, that they're not going to go for that. But you've got a bunch of leftists, regressives, Marxists, socialists, communists in the House of Representatives that I think they would use it that way if they had the full ability to execute their will. But in the meantime, what they're executing is a kind of cultural totalitarianism, what one writer referred to as cultural terrorism. Who do you think you are to use the word lynching? You're a racist. You're insensitive. And you know what I thought about when I heard that stupidity? You know, crucifixion is a very sacred thing for us as Christians, right? It is. Because we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was crucified. That's the death he endured for our sins. And that's something very sacred to us. It's very sacred to me. Now, praise God, he didn't remain in the grave. He got up on the third day. But what if somebody were to say, wow, you know, they're trying to crucify the president? Now, would I as a Christian go, you can't use that word? Who do you think you are? That's an insult to us. Don't you dare say he's being crucified. That's not, you can't use that word. Folks, I've got enough sense to know that when somebody uses the word, they're using it in its broadest sense. The Romans were crucifying people before they crucified Jesus. They continued crucifying people after they crucified Jesus. Peter was crucified upside down, but he wasn't the only person. They didn't reserve crucifixion simply for Christians. It was a way of sentencing people to the death penalty. And it was common for those who were punished by death. It was a common punishment that the Romans used because it was not only a death sentence, but it was a sentence of suffering and torture and pain. And Jesus went through that. But I know when somebody says, as perhaps some of you, I think I probably have, say, you know, wow, they really tried to crucify him. I'm not comparing that person's condition or circumstance to what Jesus did. I mean, we have enough common sense to understand that. And I'm certainly not going to say to people who might use that term, oh, who do you think you are? You're insensitive. Don't you realize? I mean, come on. It's not a denigration of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ for somebody to use that phrase use that word in a rhetorical sense. But suddenly you can't use the word lynching in any rhetorical sense. Well, you know what? Let me just say, as a black man, as an American of African descent, what these Democrats in Congress are doing to the president right now is a low-tech lynching. It is a congressional lynching. And I use that word with no apology, because without due process, without a shred of fairness, based on a bunch of lies and innuendo and made up stuff and twisted stuff, they are trying to execute the president of the United States politically. And yes, it is a congressional lynching. It is a Democrat lynching of a duly elected president. Yeah, now let them see what they want to do with that. That a black man has now used it without apology and without compromise, because I think it's the most powerful image you can create for what's being done to this president right now. And Clarence Thomas was right to use it. And you know what? Brett Kavanaugh could have used it because it was the same thing. You know, you come up with a bunch of spurious nonsense and you use that to try to destroy a human being. Because after all, this president, by the way, may I remind the left that President Donald Trump is a human being with feelings, with a family, with children. He doesn't deserve this kind of treatment because they don't happen to agree with him politically. But as I've said before, with the left, folks, because they don't know God, because they don't have any sense of their responsibility to ultimately answer to him for their behavior, there is no limit to the depths of depravity to which they will sink, and no limit to the meanness and nastiness that they will use against people with whom they disagree. I haven't gone through anything near what this president is going through, but I'll tell you what, I've gotten a little taste of it. And I think anybody who takes the positions that I take and probably that most of you out there take and gets known publicly for having done so, you know what it's like. Because they don't, here again, they don't have the logic, they don't have the facts, they don't have the wherewithal to defeat your argument. So what they want to do is destroy you, the carrier of the argument, the messenger. And folks, that is evil. And what they're doing to this president is evil. And I think I can use that word without suggesting, for example, that somehow I am conjuring up the image of the lynching of black people during the heyday of the Ku Klux Klan. I think you can distinguish the two in the same way that saying somebody's being crucified, I can distinguish between what people mean when they say that versus the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, come on. You know, these people need to just, they need to grow up. I mean, part of it, because this is like teenagers. No. You looked at me the wrong way. No. You looked at me the wrong way. I mean, this is juvenile, folks. And it would be laughable, frankly, if it weren't so dangerous to our republic. The number is 888-589-8840. You know what? I'll tell you what. If you can get to me before the break, I'll try to take some calls right now. One other thing in the meantime, I want to add to this. I watched some of CNN while I was in the airport waiting to catch my plane yesterday. And you know what, folks? I said, if that's the only thing that people watch, they're saying right now, they're claiming 55% of the American people think impeachment is a good thing. But I sat there watching that thinking, well, if that's the case, no wonder. Because they're not, it's not freedom of press anymore, it's freedom of propaganda. Because I sat there and watched, I don't know, as much as I could take, which was only about 10 or 15 minutes, of pure, unadulterated propaganda masquerading as news. And folks, this is a sad day. If that's what people are watching, thinking that they're actually getting news, my goodness gracious, no wonder we're in trouble. Okay, look, we're close to a break, but let me try to get Stuart in. Let's see, Stuart, welcome. You're on. Hello. Stuart, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Stuart, go right ahead.
Yes. What it is I am a Democrat, and I voted for Trump, and I plan on voting for him again. And as far as these polls, they were lying 3 years ago, and they're still lying now. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm 62 years old, and I've never had nobody call me and ask me to poll on anything, on any party. Mm-hmm. So what it boils down to is, well, this is still America, he's still American, and the people that need to be impeached are these people in that party that are not only corrupting the party, but they're corrupting America.
Stuart, thank you. Man, that can be the last word for this segment. Back in a moment.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Tiffany Lee, the Christian singer known as Plum, describes an emotional, spiritual turning point in her troubled marriage.
I realized God needed to fix me, and the only thing I could control was me. And I realized that although Jeremy has left, and Jeremy has made some bad choices, I've been really hard to live with, and I haven't been who you created me to be. So fix me. Start there. Just start there.
God did heal Tiffany and Jeremy's marriage, but first he needed to heal their individual hearts, restoring their relationship with him. He wants to do the same with you if you're willing. Learn how at familyminute.org.
Want to go shopping later?
Yeah, sure. Where do you want to go?
Oh, we can go to JCPenney's, Belk, Target.
Whoa, wait. I was with you until you said Target.
What's wrong with Target?
What's wrong with Target? You mean besides the fact that they have an open door policy that lets men into women's restrooms? That Target?
Wait, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, before we go, grab your laptop, go to AFA.net, and sign the pledge to boycott Target.
Okay, I'm on it.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. I want to remind you folks, we've got 4 more tickets to give away to our first annual awards gala. And if you are interested, it's going to happen in Alexandria, Virginia on November the 11th. If you are interested, let Marty, our screen caller, know, and he'll take your information. If you're married, we'll give you 2 complimentary tickets, courtesy of American Family Radio that has sponsored a table. And I want to thank again Jim and thank Tim for the generosity of the network and in helping us make this event a success. And that means helping make it possible for you to go without any cost, because we care about our listeners. And you guys are what this is all about, after all. So we're happy to do that, but we've only got 4 left. So let Marty know, and we'll take care of you. Okay, let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Tommy in Oklahoma. Tommy, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. Good to talk to you, Reverend.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, yes.
All right, great. I'm calling about the Wicked Witch and her flying monkeys. Of course, Nancy Pelosi.
Okay, and, you got to be clear there, Tom. I wasn't sure exactly who you were referring to, but okay, you're talking about Nancy Pelosi, okay?
Yeah, I refer to them as the Democrats. But anyway, I feel like she is holding herself in a position above the president, similar to what Lucifer did with God. In no means don't let anybody ever think I'm comparing President Donald A. Trump to God. However, he may not be a godly man, but he's doing more for the children of God than any president I can ever remember. And to the extent that I believe the only way to get rid of the evil of Lucifer, a wicked witch, and her flying monkeys.
Okay, Tommy, we got that analogy. But listen, man, thanks for calling, and I really do appreciate the call. You know, look, folks, I have called people witches. Generally speaking, it is when they behave in a way that suggests some kind of spiritual commitment to something other than God. and that I think is the equivalent of witchcraft. I think Tommy is using it in another sense. So Tommy, in the future, I think it's probably better to just refer to them by name and to describe what you think they're doing so that people don't think we're just using, shall we say, empty ad hominems. Folks, I could understand the sentiment which Tommy is expressing, because these people are certainly engaged in some way out behavior, folks. So with that being said, let's go to Bill in Texas. Bill, welcome. Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job, and I really appreciate the way you bring all the issues out, and you're definitely giving us the correct information, the stuff that we really need to understand. But, you know, the thing that I think we're missing the boat on is the reason they keep pounding Trump. I mean, sure, they hate him. I get it. But I don't believe it's just hate. I believe that it's actually, they feel like if they can just keep him off step, let's just say, in other words, by throwing all these lawsuits at him, trying to impeach him, trying to do, you know, all this crazy stuff that's been going on, they're scared. They're running scared. That's what the deal is. They know that they're corrupt. I mean, there's probably Republicans that are corrupt too, but I'm just saying, we know that there's a lot of people there that are corrupt, and he's going to, if he doesn't have time to try to weed them out because he's having to deal with all this other stuff, that's what I think the problem is. I think they're just running scared, and they want to keep him busy.
Well, Bill, I don't think you're wrong at all. I mean, I think there's a whole multiplicity of reasons that they have, and all of them end in the same way, which is, what they really want, whether it's immigration or it's these undue investigations of the president, or it's the lies and in the innuendos that they put out there against him, all of it, in my view, is for one reason: power, to stop him and to advance themselves. And ultimately, what they want is what Marx always wanted, which is hegemony over a culture. They want one-party rule over the United States of America. And if they can raise up all the illegal immigrants and all the so-called minorities and victims, the Muslims, I should say, not just the Islamists, but the Muslims, and the homosexuals and the transgenders and you name it, you know, the blacks and the Hispanics, if they can get all these people whipped up as victims, and of course, if they can also whip up anybody from any race, the women, anybody, and get them to think, oh, we've got to put down these terrible conservatives so that they can have absolute control over this country and absolute power over everything and everybody. I really believe that is the end game. And so you're right. They've got a whole bunch of reasons why they're doing this stuff. But it all ends in the same place, with them in complete and total control. Let's go to Gary of Texas. Gary, welcome.
Yes. We're talking about impeachment, I believe.
Yes, we have been, yes.
Okay, on that deal, the reason why they want to shut this man down is because he's exposing all of them right now. See, the deep state does exist. You finally have seen it. The New York Times come out and said, yes, there is a deep state, but they twisted it. They're saying it's there to protect America from Trump, when they're actually there to get him out. You still got all these leftovers, Obama-era leftovers, and rhinos from Republicans, yep, like Mitt Romney and a bunch of them, and that's what they're trying to do, because basically what this curls down to, sir, like with the Syria war, the reason why they're dogging him, a lot of these guys got investments with these foreign countries. They get money from pundits, foreign leaders, and there's war in money. There's a congressman from Florida which came out and said he was maybe thinking about impeaching with Trump, because his family owns a company that makes military equipment. All these guys got a lot to lose. That's why they don't want him to pull out of Syria. All these people, deep state, have ties with these big companies, and now they're afraid, because of what's going on in Biden's son, none of these other people's kids and family members are going to be able to get money from these foreign countries, because That's mm-hmm. how they line their pockets. They get pundit money, foreign money, and that's how they become millionaires. They go in office poor, come out rich. To where
all
Trump
right.
went in rich and don't come out poor.
All right, Gary. Thank you. I listen, money and power go together, don't they? And by the way, let me commend, I think it was Stewart, the Democrat, who called and said, I'm a Democrat. I don't agree with what these people are doing. I voted for President Trump. And I always make a distinction between the average human being, citizen, family person out there trying to make a living, trying to take care of your responsibility, and these elites who want to control everything and everybody. And I'm convinced of this, folks. There are a lot of Democrats out there who voted for President Trump. We had one of them call this morning. And I'm convinced that there will be a lot of Democrats who will increasingly vote for Republicans who may not necessarily change their voter registration, but just say, until the Democrat Party becomes a party that I can feel comfortable with again, I'm simply not voting for these people. So you're look, I mean, you're absolutely right. How do these folks get into office and they're poor or they're middle income, and suddenly while they're in office, they become millionaires? And that's true, by the way, for both Republicans and Democrats. So, yeah, there's a whole lot to this. The elites who are after power rather than service to the American people tend to stick together. And sadly, we, the American people, are the ones who suffer at their hands. Let's go to Todd in Texas. Todd, welcome.
Hello. And sadly, we, the American people, are the ones who
suffer. Hey, Todd, turn down your radio. Yeah, I can hear myself in the background.
Sir. Yes, sir. Well, bless you and bless AFR, sir. And,
thank you.
An anecdote that I thought about having traveled a bit. The lynch word, lynching and lynch, comes from one of the mayors in Galway, Ireland, years ago. And he had traveled to Spain and brought back a ward from the family he was hosted by. And his son was at home, of course, having made friends with this Gomez, and they fought over a woman, and Gomez was killed by James Lynch's son. And being mayor, he was also judge. He ended up comforting his son before he hung him from a window of their house.
Oh, my goodness.
And
he hung his own son.
That is,
wow.
That is, yes. And
wow.
That was in the 1493 era. So,
well, yeah, Todd, thank you. We're getting close to running out of time. But Todd, you just made the point, which is this stuff goes far beyond the racial context that people always want to put it in. And they use that as a way of trying to control us. Let's see if we can get one more caller in. You'll have to be quick. But Ruth in Mississippi, welcome.
In Mississippi, welcome.
Ruth, are you there? Did I lose Ruth? Then let's try to go to Norman. Norman in Texas, welcome.
Hey, yeah, you know, he was talking about impeachment, you know, but they're behind closed doors and they won't let anybody else in there, you know, the Republicans or anybody else in there to be a part of this. I call that treasonous plot there, you know, it's treason against the United States.
Wow.
Treason against the president. I'd say that's a treasonous plot.
Norman? Listen, we're going to end the program there, but you're right. This stuff is treasonous. Even if it's not the technical legal definition, it is in the spirit of treason because it's betraying the trust of the American people who duly elected this president, and he should not be driven from office because Democrats don't like him. Well, folks, we're going to keep standing up for what we know is right, because we know whose side we're on, right? And we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.